Okay, first of all, have you seen the new Paw Patrol movie?
No. Half of that is because I don't have a lot of younger children around me directly in my family anymore. Everybody's older. The other half is because one of my siblings hates Paw Patrol because it is apparently cop propaganda. So if we walk past any sign in a movie theater that says Paw Patrol, I'm like, look, it's your favorite. And they're like, no. And it's hilarious. But yeah, I have no one to go see it with. Sorry,
everybody. I mean, I don't necessarily disagree with your sibling, but I did go to see it yesterday with my nieces. And they're 2 and 3. And first of all, bringing a 2 and a 3-year-old to a movie theater is an adventure in its own right. I mean, like, thank God it was Paw Patrol and not like Oppenheimer, which, I mean, granted. But second of all, I didn't expect the feelings. Oh my God. Like, I'm like sitting there like holding in tears while Skye is like talking about how her life, she was never chosen. And I'm like, I know, Skye. I get it. I totally get it, Skye. I'm right there with you, girl. I'd have chosen you. I would have chosen you. But that's not what we're going to talk about anyway. We are here. I just froze on purpose to screw with Lauren.
It was terrible. I was like, I will sit here.
I just know, like, when we were recording Barbie, we had so many issues that I just wanted to give her a little reminder of that and raise her blood pressure a bit. So
but I don't want my blood pressure risen, at least not in that way. God damn it. I was recording that because, yeah, it's been such a challenge for me to like get back into podcasting stuff. And so when like technical stuff like that happens, my brain is like, fuck it. I don't want to do it anymore. And so I have to yell at my brain like, absolutely not. Shut up.
Listen, the only thing that rises is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, as per Kurt Wagner. And we know that. Correct. What the fuck? Welcome back, everybody, to Simply Amazing. This is the Nightcrawler podcast where we talk about Nightcrawler, only Nightcrawler, everything Nightcrawler, except when we don't. And we decide to talk about other stuff because guess what? It's our podcast, baby. Anyway, I'm Lisa, a.k.a. the OG Nocturne. And you can find me everywhere. And I'm here graced by a vision. A vision in mustard.
Gorgeous. No, why would you do that to me? No, you could have just said a vision. Why in mustard? Mustard is an ugly word. It's an ugly color. God,
but that's the color you're wearing. You're literally wearing mustard.
Yeah, I mean, it's a old jersey for a soccer team. For one of my favorite players who hasn't played in a while because she's been injured forever. And if I find out who injured her, I will destroy them. Anyways.
Well, the color looks fantastic on you. I'm going to call you Colonel Mustard for the rest of this. How's that sound?
No! I hate it. Burn it with fire, Lisa. But thank you for a compliment, but burn it with fire.
It was Lauren in the conservatory with the lead pipe, guys. Anyway, yeah, welcome back, everybody. We are so excited to get back into the swing of things. Pun intended, because we're talking about Uncanny Spider-Man.
Swinging. I know that's right. See, now you got me wishing that he was a little looser in this than he already is. God damn it. We're getting there, but I don't think, spoiler alert, I don't think we'll ever have the full Kurt that a lot of us as fans know him to be and want to see. I don't think we'll ever get that with Spurrier writing him. And this first issue of Uncanny Spider-Man is already way closer to who Kurt is, and it is far more enjoyable than the other two series.
I agree 100%. I think the big issue with the other series is that it's clear that Spurrier wants to write Kurt and he wants to do good by him. Mm-hmm. But I think that in the other series, he was very distracted by other characters. Like, Legion is clearly one of his favorites. He likes Legion a lot because, really, when it comes down to it, I mean, Way of X, even though Way of X and what the hell was the other one called?
Legion of X.
Even though they were like supposedly like Kurt books, it was really clear that Legion was what he was focusing on. And so, but this one, I mean, he has no choice but to focus on Kurt. And so it's interesting to see what he does with it. And I mean, I gotta be honest, it's a good start. I'm not upset about it. I think it's very hard when we all have our preconceived notions of what these characters are and who they are. And the problem is that we are all different in what we prefer and what we want. So no one writer is ever going to get it right for everybody. It's just the way it is. You know what I mean? Like, I remember years and years and years ago when we had that, the Night Scrawlers message board, there would constantly be people who would be like, I love Kurt. I just wish that like it didn't focus so much on the religion. And then someone else would say, I love Kurt. I wish he would be more religious. And it was just, you know, it's just everybody has a different opinion. So it's very hard to hold the writers responsible to like make sure everybody's vision is appreciated. But this, I agree, definitely does come much closer to the character that we know and love so much. So
yeah, I completely agree. And I mean, that's the thing too, is you're never going to please everybody, right? And I think there's a shift in at least what I've seen of the Kurt fandom, or at least from reactions of the past few series, like these series Spurrier has done. And then with, for example, like compared it to like that one issue of Immortal X-Men, number 8, that Kieran Gillen did, spotlighting Kurt.
Which was phenomenal, yes.
Yes, and comparing all those things together, I think there is a massive shift in the fandom that is more on, we want fun-loving Kurt back. We want the Kurt that is a swashbuckly. We want him being silly and cute. We're kind of over the 90s, early 2000s, super religious Kurt. Maybe there was a time for that. And of course, I'm sure there still are fans out there that really still like that version of him. And that's great. I also think that what Spurrier did with Kurt in terms of his religion and the focus with the plot and the characters in these last two series, I think it took it a little too far, even for people that do like Kurt being very religious and focusing on it, because in my opinion, at least, he went from, oh, I'm very religious and I just want to take care of me and this is my spirituality, to I'm a zealot. Everybody get on board. The spark. Like, you know, like it just felt like he was almost trying to shove it onto people. And in my opinion, at least, no matter how religious Kurt is, that's not in character, i.e. his relationship, his friendship, whatever, with Logan. Like, that's why they work, is because even though Kurt can say, hey, have you tried speaking to God? And Logan's like, no, that's not for me. Kurt will eventually try to still say, give the same message to Logan, which is find it in yourself, figure out what you need and all that stuff. But he'll take it out of that super God lens for a little bit for Logan. Yeah. And this version of Kurt that we've had the last little bit with him just being more zealous, like that doesn't fit how he expresses his religion. He can be super religious and not be that zealous. And yes. So I'm very excited that even though his religion is still part of him in this first issue, I can't see series because we don't know, but I'm sure it will be, that it's still there. And there are moments where Spurrier definitely, you know, there's certain lines that are a little direct, and if you catch it and read it, you're like, okay, yeah, he's still trying to throw something in there that is a little strong. But other than that, it's just a lot of fun. So,
oh yeah, I think the thing that a lot of writers, when they write Kurt at the religious side of Kurt, what they don't understand is like Kurt is very specifically Catholic. So that was like where the whole downfall for me was about the whole mutant religion, because in Catholicism and in Christianity in general, I mean, the idea is you have one true God and then you have the Son of God. And then, you know, it's like this is the path, right? This is the correct path. So the idea that someone who was so, you know, fervently Catholic, who was so like grounded in that faith, would go and say, well, now I'm going to figure out something else. Like, here's the thing about Christianity. It doesn't really encourage you to ask questions. It encourages you to read the Bible and find the answers there, right? So that's why that whole like Kurt finding religion, it was a very weird plot. It didn't make sense when you kind of take into consideration all that. But we're moving in a different direction, and Spider-Man could not be a better fit for him. I personally love the idea that he is now branching out of the X-Men. I mean, we saw this with Wolverine in the 2000s when Wolverine became an Avenger. Really, up until then, Wolverine was an X character, period. He still is number one X character. Number one, he is an X character. But he's been able to branch out into different teams. And I love that we now have Kurt branching out and doing something different. He's in a different place in the Marvel Universe. And this is not the first time he's tried to leave the X-Men. This is not the first time he's thought, you know, maybe there's a better place for me in the world. I mean, we saw him do that back when Pixie joined the team and he was like, well, no, I'm superfluous. I'm not a good teleporter. I'm going to go to Germany and make out with a museum docent. But but it's fun. It's great. And I think, you know, I mean, it's not the most perfect issue, I would say. You know, I wouldn't say I've read it and I was like, oh my God, I can't wait to read it again. But, you know, it's fun. But let's get into it, right? Let's get into it. We start out with these guys who are stealing human organs, it looks like.
Great.
I mean, listen, it's New York City. it's if you ask my mother, she would look at this page and be like, yep, that's New York City for you right there. Stealing human organs. Yeah, but they're, of course, stopped by Spider-Man, who teleports in. This is the one thing that I'm confused about, and maybe I've missed a couple things. You might be able to fill me in, but like, I'm super confused about why everybody is like, it's Spider-Man. He's so totally not a mutant, guys. This guy with three fingers and a tail who teleports is totally not a mutant. Like, what?
Well, I think that's just Spurrier making goofy of a plot, which is, like, I don't remember all the details. Like, sorry, fans, you guys will know more than I do at this point because I have fell off most of the X-books. But there's basically a plot going on with the mutants. And I think it looked like, I mean, we see, you know, as Lisa continues saying what happens here, you know, it looks like the Sentinels are Iron Man now, like they're Iron Man Sentinels. I don't know. But anyways, it looks like mutants are not in the good public eye again, basically. So that's why that's happening, because they're trying to vouch for, no, we love Spider-Man. He would never be a mutant. You don't have to hurt him. Like, you don't need to send a Sentinel after him. Like, he's good. So I think that's what's happening with that. You know, just in our we hate mutants plot as usual.
Yeah. The thing is that, listen, everybody out there listening, it's always going to go back to that. Like, it's, I know everybody wanted Krakoa to last forever. I know everybody wants the mutants to find a happy, like, home, but it's just never going to happen, guys. It's like, it's always going to go back to the status quo. This is the only way that we can keep telling stories is if, you know, we can keep conflict going. And if mutants are just loved and everybody loves them and like nobody cares about mutants anymore, it's, where's the conflict? Where is the story? So the main tenant, the main story of X-Men has always been a minority who is fighting for their place in the world. Oh my God, sorry. One of the main tenants of X-Men has always been, you know, minorities fighting for their place against a majority who hates them and fears them. So once you take that away, there's very little story to be told anymore. I mean, there's a lot you can do, but what are they fighting for anymore when that's gone? So, you know, all like lots of other characters, other teams have different purposes. You know, when you take that away from the X-Men, they're just the Avengers. They're just a team of superheroes. The point is that they are this minority who is being, you know, vilified, but yet still fights for the good of humanity. That's the whole point. So basically Spider-Man shows up, aka Kurt Spider-Man. Let's call him Nightcrawler. Wait, I was going to say, let's call him Nightcrawler as if like wall crawler. And oh my God, what an idiot I am.
That isn't his name.
That isn't his freaking name. We'll just call him Spider-Man, whatever. He shows up we talked about this a little bit in the Barbie thing. I kind of love every time they make reference to Kurt being ESL. I love every time they make reference to him being like, yeah, English is not my first language. So here you go. And so I kind of like this page where he's like, you know, English is not my first language, but, you know, I'm going to work on, some one-liners because Spider-Man's known for his one-liners. I don't know. Would you say Kurt is known for his one-liners? I don't know that he is.
No, I can't. I can't think of a single one, like a common seen many times one-liner. But if anybody listening, if you guys are like, hey, you guys are stupid, Kurt does have one-liners and hear some of them, let us know, because I want to hear them, but I can't think of any.
I feel like he has been written as like kind of quippy here and there, but I think the thing is that he's quippy, but he's not really the one-liner guy. So I don't mind that he's like, I'm working on it. Now that I'm Spider-Man, I'm working on like having one-liners, and I'm working on like, what I find really cute about this is he's taking the role super seriously. He's like, I'm not just going to be Spider-Man. I'm going to be Spider-Man. And like, I'm going to be such a good Spider-Man that Peter Parker is going to look at me and be like, that's a good Spider-Man. You know, he is really wants to live up to like Peter's level, which I think is super cute.
Right. Yeah, no, I definitely enjoy that. And I think it's a nice way to kind of start to show, like, to maybe readers that aren't familiar with Nightcrawler, or it's kind of like, why is he leading a Spider-Man title technically, and you can kind of just already start to draw the whole, oh, like, even if Nightcrawler doesn't have a bunch of one-liners, he is quippy and silly like Peter is. There's that common denominator of it makes sense, you know?
Yes. And for those of you out there who are like, this makes no sense that Nightcrawler would be Spider-Man, read more comics because it makes a total sense, number one. And number two, they literally have like a great-granddaughter together, so.
Well, they literally also, like, I have them. There's old issues from, like, I think, like, the 70s or the 80s where and they're amazing Spider-Man issues. And Nightcrawler was in them a couple times. Like, they're, I have the issues where, like, Spider-Man first sees Nightcrawler and thinks he's, like, kind of like, what's this little demon dude doing running around and stuff? And I think it had to be the 70s because it was pretty early on. Like, Nightcrawler was drawn a bit differently in that issue. Mm-hmm. And he wasn't as quippy yet. But no, they've definitely been like, people have drawn the common denominators between the two for decades. So it's not a new thing. It's just, if you haven't seen those things, you've missed it, and you can go find them. It's all good.
No, absolutely. I mean, I totally know exactly which issues you're talking about in the 70s. Yeah, I think they were in the late 70s, maybe early 80s would be the latest. Yeah, but they, you know, there have been many moments that Peter and Kurt have come together and met, and, you know, and they have so much in common, just their sense of humor. The powers they have are very similar. You know, they both are wall crawlers. So, but Kurt pulls out his hope sword, whatever the hell that thing's called now. And, you know, he defeats the baddies, gets the organs, manages to get them back in. But basically a whole bunch of homeless people show up. I think these are homeless people, it looks like, or I don't know. Or unhomed people show up. One of them asking about her baby. But before anything can happen, yeah, Iron Man Sentinel shows up and is looking for mutants, detects a mutant, but it's not Kurt.
Also, I don't understand what that's about. I'm interested to see what happens to that because I was confused on that. I was like, one, why is there an Iron Man Sentinel? And also, why is Tony marrying Emma at that point? Like, but then you make the point of, oh, detects a mutant, but not Kurt. And so it's kind of like, maybe these are like misleading Sentinels intentionally. And that's why Emma and Tony are getting married. Clearly, I haven't read that because I don't want to read Tony. Fuck Tony.
Yeah, no, I'm not going anywhere near Tony. Thank you very much. Absolutely not. You know, that's an interesting point. I wonder if here's the problem with that, because it does detect Mystique. As spoiler alert, that person asking, where's my baby? That's Mystique. So it does detect Mystique. So
it didn't detect Kurt. And if Emma's marrying Tony, maybe Tony's like, we're only detecting the villain mutants. I don't know how you would do that, but maybe.
Or, you know, there's some fissures happening with everybody. And it's like, we got to get rid of these bitches. We got to get rid of these lesbians. Get Destiny and Mystique out of here. Kill them. Ugh,
always the homophobes. I'm tired.
I don't know what to say. I'm sorry. I don't mean to be the bearer of bad news.
But listen, don't forget. I know we're not talking about this issue because it's not even out yet and all that. But we do have that issue coming out that's going to explore Kurt's parenthood again and his past. And there's a cover. The A cover has him and Mystique on it. But then another cover is a great Destiny and Mystique cover. So get ready, guys. Because if Marvel doesn't do what we've been manifesting, I will throw hands. Pitchforks.
I am so tired of Marvel teasing us to the edge. Like, seriously, they've been edging us this whole time. Like,
it's too much. It's too much edging, Marvel. There are limits.
It's too much. And me specifically, they keep teasing all these Nocturne-esque characters, and they're not Nocturne. God damn, bring back Nocturne.
Like, anyways.
I don't understand. Okay, I'm just going to go off on a quick tangent. Literally, the Scarlet Witch is like the biggest thing in the MCU, and you cannot bring Nocturne into the X-Men comics? I mean, what's wrong with you? I don't know what to say, Marvel. I don't know what to say. Just call me. So yeah, the Sentinel shows up. You know, they, for some reason, it doesn't find Kurt as a mutant. And then it's like, bye. And then leaves. So here's my thing. Who, I forget now. I read this like 2 weeks ago. So I'm like, who is this person whispering to Kurt? Whatever. We'll get to that in a second. Mm-hmm. But I love how he calls himself, you know, the friendly neighborhood spinning man. Like, I guess that's German for spider, spinning. I don't know. I should have looked it up, but
I don't know, but I hate it. It doesn't roll off the tongue well. I hate it.
It doesn't roll off the tongue, but I don't think he's going to go by it. I just think it was a cute little, like, but he's German. Remember, guys. And that's another thing. Like, it's kind of interesting. I hate to bring this up and get a little political because, like, when you think about, like, immigration in this country and all the craziness going on around it, it's kind of funny to have, like, a foreigner with a clear accent doing the part of Spider-Man, who's such an iconic, important hero in New York City. So, but again, New York is pretty liberal, so I guess they wouldn't really give a shit. So, yeah, so then we see that Orcus has some very clear propaganda, and they call them your friendly neighborhood sentinels, which...
How dare they use my line, and they put it with sentinels. Get out. That is not positive. Sentinels are not positive. They are not welcome in the neighborhood.
No, absolutely not. But we go from there to a nice little meeting of the Spider-Men. It's Kurt and Peter, and they're hanging out eating pizza in a church bell tower, which to me is like pinnacle kind of Nightcrawler. Like the idea of like hanging out in a bell tower, like all, you know, Quasimodo style, waiting for his Esmeralda. Mm-hmm. But basically Kurt's like, you know, I'm doing good. I'm enjoying this, And like his astral cutlass, I guess that's what that sword was called, right? He's like, yeah, we're having a good time. And it's just, you know, they talk about like how Kurt he's working to clear his name, right? He's working because he had been used by Orcus in this horrible way to murder and to kill other people. Like this is his way of clearing his name, but it's like a weird thing because right. He's wearing a mask. So that's like the whole thing with Peter is like, you're trying to clear your name, but like nobody knows who you are. So, you know, what do you want to do about it? But again, like Kurt is like, I think his whole thing is he just needs a break from everything. Like he just needs to do what he does best, but not be known for it and not be seen doing it because, you know, of all the negativity that's come from it, which you see, like we see the, you know, him going back to, you know, this mutant or this demonic phase and doing all these murders and everything. And, you know, he says it wasn't me, or he was like, I wasn't me. Like he doesn't take responsibility for it, but he understands that people see him that way. Mm-hmm. So I'm sorry. I should have reread this right before, but I didn't because I was rushing around. But like this person who is like whispering in Kurt's ear, I feel like we find out it's a little Bamf. What is the deal with this?
Spoiler alert.
Yeah. What's this little Bamf? It's like,
well, I mean, this issue is kind of hard to go page by page with because it's well paced in that, like, not every panel is of super importance in terms of like, oh, there's a big plot point here. It just kind of flows. But yeah, you get a little Bamf towards the end. So like you get Sword Swashbuckler Kurt in this issue a little bit. You get the Bamf, Silver Sable's in here. We see him talk to Peter a bit. So you kind of get the best of everything here, but that ending with the Bamfs is like, how, don't screw up the Bamf, Spurrier. I swear to God, don't screw up the Bamfs.
Yeah, they shouldn't. Yeah, I don't understand. Yeah, please don't screw with the Bamfs because we love them so much. I mean, I love the Bamfs being just like stupid little drunks, but we don't have to go page by page with this. But essentially what ends up happening is we find out that Vulture is working for Orcus, and Vulture seems to be like, he's going to be the big bad of the series, which I love. I love that we're bringing in like a Spider-Man villain for the Spider-Man book rather than like trying to find an ex-villain or introducing someone new. I love recycling old characters like this. Especially, although I have like zero connection to Vulture outside that Michael Keaton played him, and I love Michael Keaton. So I have no connection to him otherwise. So if there are Vulture fans out there angry, I'm so sorry about it. But what I find interesting is like Orcus knows that it's Kurt as Spider-Man. Like they know. They're like, he's got three fingers. He's got a tail. It's clearly him. So, and they can't figure out why he's not being like the Sentinels aren't picking him up. It's just, they're just confused. And of course they've got, it looks like, is that Thorn or Feral?
Heck if I know, to be honest.
I don't know. It's one of these bitches who's being tormented and killed and whatever. But, you know, but they're trying to figure out like, why, like how is he running around as Spider-Man and no one's picking him up? No one's figuring it out. Oh, I wanted to go back really quickly to that one page with Peter and Kurt where Peter's like, what's the deal? How do you fit your tail in this costume? And Kurt just completely ignores it. Because that was something that I saw come up on Twitter when this first came out. People being like, who made this costume and how do you put this on? Because let me tell you, I mean, just putting on like leggings sometimes is a chore because it's just like, God damn it, trying to get your legs on in these tight, tight leggings. So yes. Putting a tail through something like that must be crazy. But
I hear that.
But yeah, we get a little page about the Spidey stands, people loving the new Spider-Man. And of course, we have a damsel in distress and Kurt has to jump in and save her from, you know, from everything, which, you know, he can't help a pretty lady, right? He can't help a pretty lady. And she's a blonde. We all know how Kurt feels about blondes. So
yeah, this is true.
Yeah, that's true. And she does ask him, what else can you do with that tail?
Yeah, there's a lot of horny tail energy in this issue. Which on the one hand, I very much appreciate and it gave me a lot of joy. And on the other hand, I'm like, I just hope this isn't all Spurrier is hinging on. So, but I enjoyed it.
First of all, if she wants to know what he can do with that tail, ask Weaponless Zen, because she can tell you, number one. Or you can listen to our podcast episode all about his tail with Dr.
N. Ford. It's true. That's one of my favorites, actually.
So look us up. Oh, so this is weird. So she has a mutant alarm. This girl has a mutant alarm on her neck, but it's not Kurt that makes it go off. It's this homeless guy who it turns into Mystique.
Yes.
And Mystique keeps asking, where's my baby? And it's like, bitch, you threw it off a cliff. Where were you 30 something years ago? You threw it off a cliff. And then the other one you gave away. And then the other one, I don't know, whatever. Listen, your babies are out there. They're running amok. That's where they are. All right.
Right.
And then we find out that Orcus or someone has hired an assassin to find Kurt. She thinks he's cute. The assassin just happens to be Silver Sable. We knew this was coming. We talked about this when we were brought up Uncanny Spider-Man a long, long time ago.
Right.
That she was going to kind of be like a romantic interest in this. I even shared the trading card that like made me question my sexuality when I was a preteen of Silver Sable. That's basically the issue. It's like a setup of, you know, him becoming Spider-Man, Silver Sable's coming in to find him and kill him, and, you know, the Vulture. Vulture's here too. So, and Mystique and her baby. Where's her baby?
See, I don't care about the Vulture, so that plot doesn't interest me at all, which, sorry to any Spider-Man fans that you're like, the Vulture's a great villain. I've never gotten that impression of him, but it's fine. Silver Sable I'm excited about because I would have never thought on my own to put Silver Sable and Kurt together because, I mean, they have it hidden that she's his love interest essentially here. I like that they're kind of opposing in their personalities, but they have similar morals, I think. Not necessarily religion, but morals. Mm-hmm. And what's good and what they want to do, what motivates them. So I'm excited to see where that goes. I don't think they'll last, not because they're not a great ship. I would actually love for that, especially if Kurt could actually have a decent, long-lasting relationship. Like, that would be great. But just
it's coming with Wanda.
Right? But just because of why he's being Spider-Man now, and like it's kind of in this weird transition while they figure out what the fuck they're doing with Krakoa, basically, and because of Silver Sable's nature to, you know, she's pretty damn independent, which is something I love about her character. She's like, I need to go help people, I need to do this, I need to do that, no one's getting in my way. Like, even if I care about somebody, if I have to take care of this, then, you know, Godspeed to them, but I'm gonna go do what I need to do. So I don't see them being long lasting, unfortunately, but I could be wrong. So again, I'm all for Kurt hopefully getting a decent relationship, but I do still think we're in a transition period with Kurt as a character. And hopefully we're transitioning, kind of like we talked about at the start of the episode, from one thing that made a lot of people very unhappy with how his character's being written. Mm-hmm. And not even him as a character. Like, that's what I love about our fandom so much, and about so many of us that love Kurt. We hardly ever get mad at Kurt as a character, because even when he messes up, if it's written well and it's technically in character, we're like, oh, he's fucking up, but we know how it is, you'll get through this, Kurt. And then when he's fucking up and we're mad about it because it doesn't make sense, we don't blame the character. We're like, okay, he wasn't written right, we're gonna move on until we get something that, you know, where he is written right and things like that. So I love that about the fandom, and I'm very excited to see the next few issues of this. I hope it continues to be fun. I don't have high expectations for it being like amazing or mind-blowing, kind of like Lisa said too. I think it should be fun, and I'm appreciative of hopefully this is putting us on a better path with Kurt.
I agree. I agree 100%. I'm excited to see where we're going to go. I'm happy that he's not part of the whole Krakoa breaking down situation, because the problem with Kurt is that every time something enormous happens with the X-Men, he always gets shoved to the back. And sometimes in places that doesn't make sense. Like Ten of Swords, why on earth was the swordsman not included in the sword fight? It's so, and he even commented on it. He was like, guys, I was just literally sitting by my phone watching old episodes of The Office waiting and nobody called. So thanks. But the thing is, he needs to stand on his own. He's a character. He's been around since 1975. He's a character and he's so unique. The thing is with all these other characters, you know, they all, most of them, especially like the characters coming from the 60s through like the early 80s, almost all of them look normal. They look, you know, like a person. I mean, Beast eventually changed. Kurt was the only one who, you know, he's got this iconic look that is him. It's clearly him. It's always going to be him. So it's nice, you know, to see him go somewhere else, do something else in the Marvel universe. But, you know, it's also fun to see that, like, even as hard as he tries to hide, he cannot hide because he's still so, you know, he's still very clearly who he is, even with the mask on, even with all that stuff. But I love it. I mean, I think he's going to have a great time going all over New York City, figuring things out. This whole situation with Mystique and the Where's My Baby, that reminds me of, did you ever watch BoJack Horseman?
Which one?
BoJack Horseman.
Yes, I did. Oh my God. Great show.
Okay, yes. Everybody who, if you're out there and you haven't watched BoJack Horseman, you have to watch it. It is so good.
But I have the caveat. It is a funny show, but it will also rip your brain and heart apart in terms of it goes really, really deep into things like mental health issues, depression, substance abuse. So please don't watch it if you're not in a good mindset. Anyways.
Yes, I agree. It is very dark at times. But what the whole thing with Mystique reminded me of, it reminded me of his BoJack's mother at the end of her life got really attached to this baby doll because she had dementia. And so she would always be so attached to this baby doll. But the thing was, this is where I'm like drawing the comparison. Like she was terrible to BoJack. She was a horrible mother. Horrible mother to BoJack. Like a lot of the reasons he is the way he is because his mother was so terrible to him. Yet this baby doll later in her life, she is so obsessed with like this baby doll. And there's this these moments of like him watching her be so tender and so loving with this baby doll. And he's like, you couldn't even be that with your own son. And so I kind of see that with this and with Mystique here, where it's like, that's how she was with Kurt. She was always a terrible mother. And suddenly she's now running around going, where's my baby? It's like, what baby? What baby are you looking for? Because you literally threw them all away. So I don't know what baby you want.
I wonder if they're going to do some weird time travel shit in terms of, because, I mean, we know we're having that X-Men Blue, I think, issue come up that they are soliciting. Oh, my God, it's going to go into Kurt's origins like you've never seen before, parentage, blah, blah, blah. And so I'm kind of like, I'm interested to see what 180 they're going to have to pull out of their ass in order for them to make whatever they're trying to do work. Girl, and I think it is starting with this Uncanny Spider-Man.
Girl, I just had a thought. I just had a really crazy thought.
Okay.
So Mystique chose like this vicious, or this image of like a homeless man, or like the image that she chose that she's playing at right now, to me, looks very similar to the way she transformed herself after Kurt was born to get away from the townspeople, because that was a whole big thing. Like when she was running from the townspeople, like she throws him off a cliff, but then she transforms herself into like a man to be like, oh, they went that way. And so, which actually they did that in the Apocalypse movie too, when you think about it, that's kind of interesting, but that's how she handled the whole situation. So it's very interesting to me that, they've chosen that. Cause I wonder, you make a good point about this time travel thing. I wonder, like, could this be a time displaced Mystique from that moment that is now running around New York City and confused because she doesn't know where she is? She doesn't know what's going on. Could that be the part? Or could she be talking about a brand new baby? Now she's got like, you know, she's on baby knit number 37 and she's lost that one too. So Mystique, stop having babies.
What's interesting too is that, like, again, like you joked earlier in the episode, we joked before, and so many other fans joke and also say seriously, you know, oh, she threw her baby off a cliff and stuff. Well, here's the thing: whether she's time displaced Mystique, which I actually am thinking that's the case, and she's saying, where's my baby? Or she has another child and she's saying, where's my baby? She's showing she cares about her baby, because you know, if you're looking for your baby, even if it's an, if it's inconvenience, you don't go, where's my baby? You're like, fuck, I need that damn kid. Where the fuck is it? You know what I mean? Like, even if you don't cuss, it's, the dialogue is different. The way we speak about it is different. And so I think that gives me hope, because I think with that, if they are doing a Time, This Place is Mystique, especially, I think they're trying to recreate what happened that night when she threw Kurt over the cliff and what led up to that. Because if she was sympathetic to Kurt and she didn't want to have to throw him off the cliff, and they rewrite that, then I think that further supports that Destiny would be the other parent. Because again, who is the only person on this planet that brings out a sympathetic side of Mystique? Destiny.
Yes.
That actually gets her to care, that reminds her, this is our child. I need you to care. So yes. Anyways, I'm now further excited, because I do think that's a Time, This Place, Mystique. And that further supports hopefully what they're doing, which is Mystique and Destiny are his actual birth parents. Yes. So we'll see.
And here's the other thing. The only reason we know that Mystique threw him off a cliff is because Mystique has told us that.
Correct.
And she is not exactly the most reliable narrator. And when you think, like, here's That's the thing. True. Let's be real for a second. So granted, in the Draco, we see her throw him off the cliff, and then Azazel teleports, like, saves him, whatever. That is stupid. I don't believe it. So yeah, I'm not gonna believe that. Listen, if Christians can decide what part of the Bible they want to believe, I can decide what part of Marvel canon I want to believe. Thank you.
Correct. T-shirt. Yes,
exactly. Exactly. I'm going to eat my lobster, and I'm not going to believe in the Draco. So the idea that a baby fell off a cliff into a river and then floated down the river all Moses style until Mark Garley found her is ridiculous. That is not something that did not happen, right? That's impossible. Even by the standards of comic books, that is like way too far of a thing to believe. Like, it just doesn't make sense to me. So there's got to be another story about how Margali got Kurt, right? If they're going to stick with the Azazel thing, and that's the thing, okay, fine. I still hate it and I don't believe it, but there's a different story here. And I want to say that there's a great chance that Mystique told him the story of her throwing him away to keep him at a distance. To be like, Mystique is one of those characters. I'm going to say this straight up. Mystique is afraid of intense emotion. I think Mystique is one of those characters who can't handle, intensely feeling something, except her love for Destiny. That's the only thing that she can handle feeling. Well, but like,
yeah, that's the only thing she allows herself. And the only thing that I'm sure after trial and error, she was able to prove to herself, okay, it is okay for me to be this intense with her, because we've gone through this X, Y, Z and everything in between already. And she's still here with me. We still work with each other. But I think some fans this might piss off, but I'm all about a more gray area Mystique. I think a lot of fans like to pit her as like this big villain who really doesn't care anybody, but only Destiny. And I think in most cases, I think Destiny is the biggest thing in the universe she cares about. And that's what she shows. But I think you're right. Like, I'm all for showing a more sympathetic Mystique. I think, and it's always been my personal headcanon, that she really didn't want to throw Kurt away. And like you said, the only thing we have on, you know, she threw him over a cliff and all that story is her recount, which again, you're right. She's a very unreliable narrator. And also the Draco, which isn't real. So yes, like,
doesn't exist.
I'm all for this. I'm trying to get my hopes up too much, because I am getting more excited the more we talk about it. And I also am like, Spurrier, whatever. But I think this is really cool that they're setting this up for this possibility. And I hope we start to see things, because one other thing I want to mention with, you know, where Kurt is now and also the entire Krakoa era is Kurt has been given shit for the Krakoa era. Not that he was necessarily treated like shit the whole time, but he was, like you said, on the back burner this entire era. And even creators that, like, I would ask, you know, hey, you know, you're in the X office now. How would you feel about Ryan Kurt? Would you have any ideas? And they're like, well, you know, I haven't kept up with him, so I don't know. Like, it's not that any writer doesn't like Kurt anymore or anything. It's just nobody was thinking about him as a character. He wasn't That was my impression. And it's like, what a freaking waste of
and a it's character. A silly thing. Yeah, it's such a silly thing because it's like there was really not a whole lot to keep up with, to be perfectly honest, guys. Like there was not a whole lot that he was in. There was the Draco and then he died. Like those are the big stories that happened. Like, I mean, there's not a whole lot else. I want to talk a little bit more about the Mystique thing because I just want to mention, you know, there are plenty of toxic parents out there, right? There are plenty of parents out there who like never intend to be parents and are just toxic. And here's my theory. If I were to go down this rabbit hole of like Kurt's origin, like Mystique was in a lesbian relation. Like, so if we're going to go with the Mystique and Destiny had the child together, right? Mystique was the father, Destiny's the mother, right? I do not believe that Mystique would ever think that she could actually impregnate a woman if she was born a cis woman and she can transform. Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't think she would ever even consider that a possibility. So I don't think that she ever I don't think Mystique ever had it in her mind that she would ever be a parent. I think that was never a part of her idea. Like, she's always been fighting for mutant rights. I think that she was pretty good, pretty cool being solo by herself for a long time too. And I think she was surprised that even being in a relationship with Destiny was a surprise to her, that that she could feel that kind of love and that she could have that. And so I think like that next step of having a child, I don't think that's anything she ever wanted. But I think that I don't think she has much love for Kurt as far as who he is, except for his connection to Destiny, if there is that connection. And the reason I say, like, I think she has a fondness for him that she will never get over. And we see that, like, in one of the very first instances that they even hint that they have a relationship. There's that time where she's like fighting all the different X-Men like holograms, and like the only one she can't kill is Kurt. And I forget who brings it up. I don't know. Someone's like, why couldn't you, like, what was that? What was about that one that you couldn't take care, like you couldn't kill him? And because it shows that she has, there's some kind of fondness she does have for him, but you know, she doesn't want to be a parent. She doesn't want to have kids. Like, that happens, you know? And like, I know there are plenty of parents who've given away their children who, even though they didn't want to be parents, there's still that feeling of like fondness for that child they gave away. And I think Mystique has that fondness. She just has no interest in being a parent. And I think that's why, like, she might've told him the story of like, you went off the cliff, because it's like, just stay away from me. I don't want anything to do with you. Because also she probably brings up really uncomfortable feelings in her. So,
yeah, I think we need to be open. I think, because here's the thing, if we as fans, including myself, want them to basically rewrite the Draco and make it so Mystique and Destiny are his parents and stuff, I think we have to be open to, you know, different interpretations of Mystique as a character. We have to be. Because they're literally rewriting these stories. And here's the thing too, we're all like, oh, we hate the Draco because of how it can define Kurt and his parentage. The Draco has defined Mystique as a character for far too fucking long. Like, we don't talk about how that's bitch slapped her as a character. And the more you bring up these points, the more I'm like, God, the Draco fucked her character up and fucked our interpretation, including me as fans, fucked our interpretations of her up. Like, so I think, honestly, the more you've talked about, I think doing this is not only going to get Kurt some more wiggle room and make us happy as fans and give him some little redemption in a way, but I think it's going to give Mystique a lot of redemption, and it will open up Mystique and Destiny to more of their stories, because I said it before and I'll say it again, they are the power couple of Marvel right now, and honestly, their love story that we haven't even seen all of yet, I think it honestly might be the best love story in Marvel Comics because of how far back it goes, because of everything, because we know nothing about how old Mystique is and things like that. Like, there's just so much. And I think doing this will open up both for Kurt's character and for Mystique's.
Yes. See, I'm on the fence. Like, I go back and forth. Do I want like a Mystique origin story? Do I want to see all that? Or do I want to just like never know? And she's just always a mystery, you know? And I don't know. It's interesting. What do you think?
I don't think we'll ever get the full story of her origin. I think we'll get pieces. And I think that's cool. I think that we need something to kind of work with to like fuel our imaginations. But yeah, I never want a full story of she was born 400 years ago. She did this. Like, I want year by year with her. I want some wiggle room where we don't know, because that's what makes her character interesting. And honestly, how can we completely recount how long she's lived? Maybe she doesn't remember. Maybe she's lived so long she can't remember shit. Who knows? Girl,
I've got a great idea for a story. I've got a great idea for a story. Let me tell you this. Okay. So do you remember a couple years ago, the Golden State Killer? I'm a big true crime fan. Everybody knows that. Golden State Killer was caught through like familial DNA.
No, but continue. I don't keep up with that stuff.
So basically, I'll just make it really quick for everybody who's listening. If you don't know, the Golden State Killer was caught. They didn't know who he was. He had killed a bunch of people in the 70s and 80s. He was caught because like his third cousin twice removed put their DNA into the database, for like 23andMe to get their things. They put him in the database, and then they were able to find the Golden State Killer through that because of the DNA they had on file. Now, let me tell you this. I guarantee you that Mystique's DNA is on file, like everywhere. Could you imagine like somebody does their like 23andMe and it's like Raven Darkholm? Who's this bitch? Like randomly?
Well, what's interesting is her character too, and these aren't questions that we can actually answer. These are more rhetorical because it's like, well, how many names has she had? Can she change her DNA? Has her DNA changed over time because of how much she shapeshifted? Like all these things are things that can be explored. And maybe some people don't want to because it's like, oh, that's a mess. Absolutely not. And I totally get that. But like, yeah, like that even to me is so fishy because it's like, yeah, well, if you ran that DNA through the system and then you get this one name, you get Raven Darkholm, but then there's another. I mean, it just seems way too complicated. So I think that would be cool. But I think there'd be so much more to go into that would make it way more complicated with her character that somebody should do something with because like, you can't make it too simple because she's not simple. That's what's so great and also challenging about writing her character, I imagine, is you have so much to work with and it's almost too much because the second you're like, I'm going to do this with her, there's something that could contradict it because of who she is, how she shapeshifts, what she's done, all these different things. But yeah, I think it's cool.
I will say that I do not subscribe to anywhere near the idea that she can change her DNA. And the only reason I say that is because there is a mutant who can do that specifically. So I feel like we would, I don't know. I'd like to keep that separate. You know what I mean? Like,
so that's not really what I was trying to imply. Okay. But no, I totally get you there. I don't think she has the power to willingly change her DNA, but what if, like, let's say she shapeshifted over the last 30 years. She shapeshifted over 2000 times or some crazy shit. Who knows? I don't know how to make a number for that. But let's say she shapeshifted so much that causes an adverse reaction in her body and her DNA starts rewriting itself unintentionally sometimes. That's kind of thinking in terms of like shapeshifting that much and doing different forms in different bodies. That's got to fuck with you somehow, whatever your normal base is. Like the way her DNA is now, let's say she is somehow 400 years old. Her DNA now cannot be the same as 400 years ago if she shapeshifted this much. Something has to have happened to her. It wasn't willing. It wasn't something she did, but it's an adverse like side effect, basically.
No, I could see that. That makes more sense to me. I could see that. That's cool. But
we'll have to do a Mystique episode sometime because now you have me thinking about Mystique a lot. Damn.
Oh, we will. Oh, we will. Trust me. We'll do like 17 Mystique episodes. Are you kidding me?
Of course.
But we have traveled well off of the Uncanny Spider-Man route, but final thoughts for me on Uncanny Spider-Man. Like, listen, good start. I'm excited to see what happens next. Let's see where we go with this.
Yeah, I mean, I'm the same. It was a lot of fun. I didn't want to throw myself against the wall after I read the book, being like, damn, why did I think it'd be different? It was enjoyable. And I think that's the way we got to do it. If you're wanting fun Kurt content, then you have it with this issue. If you're still feeling too bitter about Spurrier writing him, then stay away from it. Like, I'm going to tell you, like, stay away from it if you're really still that not happy with what Spurrier did. And that's okay. But if you can read something and just have, you know, and be like, you know what, this is fun, Kurt. That makes me happy right now. Give it a shot. I enjoy it. It's only going to be 5 issues. So hopefully it's just a little fun adventure for him, which to be fair, I actually really like Kurt with miniseries. Maybe we'll have to talk about that sometime. But like Kurt's limited series, yes, I really enjoy. I think he's great for like multiple mini adventures like that. So anyway, it's a good time.
No, it's totally a good time. And I like the idea that maybe one day in the next Spider-Verse movie, Kurt will show up. So
I hope so. Please, God. It's the new Spider-Verse movie is on hold indefinitely because they're going to take so much time with it. So listen, if you are working on that film or you know somebody that knows somebody that knows somebody that knows somebody that's working on it, please get in their ear. Look, Nightcrawler's been a Spider-Man now. Throw him in.
And everybody who's ever played Kurt is still alive. So like voice actors and main actors. So get him in there and get someone to play him. Bring back Alan Cumming. He doesn't have to put on freaking blue makeup. So he might be happy about it. So he might be able to, you know, just give us his voice. But anyway, well, everybody, thank you again so much for joining us for another fabulous episode of Simply Amazing. Lauren, tell them where they can find you.
Well, my handle is at friendlymbhdbi. You can find me on stupid Twitter. You can find me on Blue Sky. You can find me on Threads, Instagram. I'm everywhere. If you're somebody that's looking to get into indie comics or you like them, my YouTube show is still on a hiatus, but you can still check it out at MBHD Comic Show or Your Friendly Neighborhood Comic Show on YouTube if you want. Might be doing something on the channel soon just to get our feet wet again, but I can't say much more because I don't want to say anything till we're for sure. But yeah, that's it.
Awesome. Awesome. And you can find us at simplyamazingpod.com, our website, which I promise eventually I will update something onto it, but it's there. And all of our socials are there. We're on Blue Sky. We're on Twitter. We'll never call it X in our lives ever, ever.
No.
We're on Facebook. We're on Instagram. We're on all of them. So we try to be active. It's been crazy lately. So we'll get more active as we can, but just come say hi. Leave us a review if you like us. It helps people find us. Tell us you love us. Tell us you hate us. I'll take any review you got. Anything you got to say to me, say it. I'm here to hear it. And if you are out there right now and you are super confused about how Kurt got his tail into that little tail sleeve or who made that costume, don't worry. The rest of us are as well. You're still simply amazing.